This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
All right, well, good morning. What's going on, guys? My name's Brandon. It's my privilege to be able to speak to you today. And today we're going to talk about the word access. Everybody say the word access. We're going to say that word a lot today. And by we, I mean me, and maybe you if you decide to join it with me. So today my message is entitled Access Granted. And I wanted to start off with kind of a funny little story. There was a guy who needed access to a dentist. He was going to get a tooth pulled. And he goes to the dentist and, you know, the dentist tells him, okay, well, our highest plan is $5,000 to get a tooth pulled. And he said, you know, the upside to it is you get the anesthetic, you know, you don't have any pain or blood, you get the nurses, you get the whole thing. And the guy's like, look, that's just way too much money. So the guy said, okay, we have a $500 plan, and maybe that'll work better for you. And the guy's like, look, you know, what does that involve? He's like, well, there's a little bit of blood, a little bit of pain, but, you know, at least it's cheaper. He's like, look, man, do you have anything cheaper? The dentist was kind of perturbed with him, but he's like, okay, if you want, for $50, I can go in the back, grab a pair of pliers, yank that thing out myself. He goes, it'll be a lot of blood, it'll be a lot of pain. He goes, what do you want to do? The guy's like, you know what? That last plan sounds great. Go ahead and book my wife for this Tuesday. All right. Not a good option, guys. Do not learn from this story. All right. You know, I actually grew up in Fort Myers, Florida. It's actually on the Gulf side. And growing up, my mom stayed at home with my brother, my sisters, and I. And my dad was a police officer. And because of that, I grew up always wanting access to having guns, okay? Now, for you, you're like, what are you talking about, Brandon? We're in Texas. Like, you know, guns is kind of like you come out of the womb and they give you a gun, right? It's kind of like, okay. Like, in Florida, it's a little different culture, okay? And for me, I always wanted access to guns. And here's why. My dad would come home with these unbelievable, like, police stories about, you know, him taking down the bad guys, you know, all those type of things. And, you know, my dad worked with the narcotics unit, so he would pretend to be like a bad guy and sell drugs to people. And, you know, he worked with the SWAT team. So he'd always come home and tell these stories. I'm like, man, I wish I could just have access to a gun. And my mom was like hardcore anti-guns. Like, I'm not joking. She wouldn't even let me have a squirt gun, okay? Like, it's ridiculous. You can tell I'm still not over that. I don't get it. But anyways, so one day my dad comes home, and he's in this brand new police car. And, you know, whenever he'd get a promotion or something, he'd have a new car, undercover marked car. And he came, and he opened up the trunk. And in the back, I just happened to see this day, was this beautiful shotgun, okay? And now, again, I didn't grow up around guns, so I'm looking at this thing like, oh, awesome. I gotta like hold this thing. So he shuts the trunk, walks in, you know, inside, gets ready to take a nap. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to open that trunk, and I'm going to see that shotgun. So I go, I sneak his keys, open the trunk, and I'm just looking at the shotgun in front of me. I'm like, man, this is beautiful. I love this thing. So I kind of like got down. I was like, man, this would be what would it be like to like hold a shotgun. This is so cool. And I tried to like pick it up, but it was like locked in there. So I was like, oh, man, this is what it's like. And I'm holding it, and all of a sudden I heard a boom. I didn't mean to, but I pulled the trigger by accident. It shot right through my dad's police car, okay? Why are you laughing? All right. I got in so much trouble because of that. So as soon as that happens, all of a sudden I hear I hear this like really high pitched scream, like only a level of scream that only a girl or a woman should be able to scream. And it was actually my brother. Okay. So my brother is like screaming his brains out. He was about 5 feet away from where the shot came out. Okay. He's running around the car, like freaking out, losing his mind. All right, God bless him. And then you have my dad all of a sudden come out. The door, I'm not joking, the door swings open. And I'm trying to get this image out of my head, but my dad's nothing but his whitey tighties just standing there. All right. And he comes out, he's like, Brandon, what are you doing? And I heard that a lot throughout my life, but Brandon, what are you doing? And he runs after me, he chases me through the woods, okay? He didn't catch me. He's chasing me through the woods in his whitey tighties, all right? God bless. But I remember I ended up coming back home. I ended up getting in so much trouble. But all of that was because I wanted access. And when we talk about the word access this morning, what I found is that a lot of people, they love the concept of access, right? Like more access to certain things. Like, you know, most people are completely fine with that concept. Better access, more access. And I'll kind of give you an illustration of this. With a show of hands, how many of you would be okay if I said, I'm going to give you access to hang out with J.J. Watt for a week? Raise your hand if you would like that access, okay? Wow. All right. I'll give you kind of another example. What if I said to you, I'm going to give you access to driving a Ferrari for the next week. How many would like access? You know, it's funny, your hand shot up faster. Okay, that makes sense. So you like Ferraris better than J.J. Watt? Maybe it's because of the Texans. That's a whole other thing, all right? But here's the deal. A lot of us, we love the concept of access. We like having more access. The definition, or a definition, literally means one of them is having special permission. And most of us like permissions, right? That's like a good thing. Special permission. Yeah, I'm cool with that. But the question I want to ask you this morning is this. Do you believe that you have access to God? Do you believe that you have access to God? What's interesting about this question, I'm hearing some of you say yes. Amen, brother. All right? So, but here's the thing. I've talked to people throughout the years, and I've met a lot of people who believe in the concept of a God, but for some reason, they don't believe that they have access to God. In other words, they believe he's there, but they don't think he's that close, or they don't think that they could ever have access to him. You know, I've met other people that I've talked to where they may say something like, they believe they have access to God, but God has taken away their access now. So in other words, one time they used to have access to God, but like now there's like this wedge between them and God, and like, you know, things aren't cool. And some of you this morning, some of you just said it, you believe you do have access to God, but really as we press that a little more, what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean to have access with God and to God? And this morning I want to give you three insights. We're going to take a look at what the scripture says about this, about having access to God. And I believe this. I believe this message is going to increase your faith. I believe it's going to add value to your life. So as we begin to unpack this, I want to start off with the story of a woman named Esther. Assume you're familiar with the story. If you're not, I'll give you just a brief summary of it. And Esther was a woman who was a Jewish woman who grew up during a time of the Babylonian captivity. And the king at the time, his name was Xerxes. He was the Persian king. And he decides that he's going to find a wife for himself. So he finds Esther. And Esther, now, because she's the queen, has all kinds of problems happening. You may be like, what do you mean, Brandon? Well, for example, before she was living with her cousin Mordecai, okay? And everything was good, but now she was taken from Mordecai. Mordecai was kind of the guy who watched over her. Now she was in the palace living with a king. Another bad thing was there was a guy during that time also living in the palace named Haman. Some of you remember the story. Haman was the guy who hated the Jews. He hated them. In fact, he actually tricked the king and got the king to sign a decree to annihilate all of the Jews. So you have this incredible, just bad situation happening. And it actually gets worse. And Mordecai actually hears about this, Esther's cousin. And he says, Esther, we got to do something about this because we're about to be annihilated. And Esther was in a tough position because at that time there was a Persian law which stated no one could come to the king unless they were summoned by the king. So Esther's in like, can you imagine just being in this predicament? She's in this horrible situation. If I do nothing, everybody dies. If I do something and try to win over the king, I die because I'm not allowed to come to the king. It's against the law. And then everyone dies. Bad situation, right? And what Esther does, and the Bible describes, is that she began to fast, and we can probably rightly assume she began to pray, and she gathers the courage to come before the king. And as soon as she comes before the king, what's interesting is, in that tense moment, the Bible says he's sitting on the throne, and instead of coming after her and enforcing the law, he gives her grace and kindness, and he allows her to come access him. And she begins to share, here's what's going on, here's what Haman's doing, and we need help. And the king ends up killing Haman. He ends up, by the end of the story, the Jews are saved. This is an incredible story. But one of the points I want to draw out this morning is this. Despite the law, despite what the law said and what it implicated, the king, he was still willing to overlook it and give Esther access. And in a similar way for you and I, we have a perfect God. In comparison to him, we're sinful people. But God loves us so much that he overlooks our sin and actually gives us access to him. It's an incredible principle. In fact, it may be the best thing that the world has ever heard. God gives us access to him. I want to show you this morning a few passages of scripture that begin to give us a little insight onto how. How does this whole thing happen? Here's what Ephesians tells us. It says, for through him, and that's Jesus, we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. The next scripture says this. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom have we gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Do you realize what the scripture says? We gain access to God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. You may say, well, Brandon, like, what else does it take, right? It can't be that simple. It literally is that simple. God says, I'm willing to give you, and every single person that's here this morning, he's willing to give all of us access to him when we put our faith in Jesus. I'm telling you, it's the greatest message in the world. So this morning, I want to unpack and dive specifically into three areas because we have access to God, areas that we now have access in. And I've chose three based on what the scripture, you know, tells us. I probably could have chose, you know, 20 of us, but 20 of them, but I want you to be here all day. So this morning, we're going to look at three. And because we have access to God, the first one is this. We have access to knowing God. What an incredible truth. We can actually know God. Now, for me, to this very day, I actually don't like scary movies. Some of you can appreciate that. I don't like them. My theory is that my parents scarred me as a young child, okay? Now, it's easy to blame on my parents, but I'm not talking like they had me watch like freaky movies like Chucky and some of those type of things, okay? That some of my friends watch. I'm talking like my parents scarred me by watching like Christian movies, okay? And here's what I mean by that. Like some of you, you may have seen like the Left Behind series. Some of you may have seen that before. And basically it talks about like the tribulation and, you know, God coming back for his people and the Antichrist and all these things. And I got to tell you, like that just completely freaked me out. Like absolutely scared me to death. In fact, pretty much the basis of me being a Christian was based on I didn't want to go to hell and I just wanted to go to heaven, okay? That's really the truth, okay? And some of you, maybe you're like, yeah, me too. Okay, well, here's the thing. Like, there is some truth to that because John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, it tells us this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So in other words, there's truth to this. When we put our faith in Jesus, God says, okay, now you don't have to go to hell and you can go to heaven, right? That's a good thing. But you know what I found? There's so much more to life than just living and coasting in this life and waiting for the next. God actually has more for us. We can actually know God. And I want to show you what John 17:3 says. It says this. Now this is eternal life. So it defines eternal life. Maybe a little different than you're used to thinking. It says that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you've sent. The scripture says eternal life isn't this place that we eventually one day get to. It says eternal life is defined by knowing God, which means this, guys. We can know God right now. And eternal life really starts right now. And when we get to heaven, you know what it really is? Heaven is really an upgraded version, a major upgrade, okay, in a lot of ways, upgraded version of knowing God. But we can know God while we're still here in this life. And as we go into the next, we can continue to know him. Man, I'm so thankful that we can know God. You know, the other day, I was in the gym, and I go to the gym right down the street, Gold's Gym, and I'm working out, and I couldn't help it, but I saw this guy working out, and I'm not trying to be mean, but he was doing, some of you guys do squats, right? I believe every person should do squats. Okay, I'm going to put that aside, but here's the deal. Like, this guy's doing squats, and here's how he's doing squats. He's doing them like this, okay? And I'm like, what are you doing? Calf raises, bro? Like, come on now. And he's doing these little squats. And I'm trying to control my judgment and my laughter and all these other things, okay, my thoughts. And I look over and I see another guy who's looking at him. And we make eye contact. And we're thinking the exact same thing, right? We're thinking like, man, okay, this is, you know, this is kind of funny. Forgive me, God, for judging him and all that. But here's the deal. Like, my buddy that I looked at, we know each other well enough to where we didn't have to say a word. Like, we just understood what we were both thinking. And think about this. God, the creator of the universe, says, hey, you can know me like that. That word know that we just put up literally denotes an intimate relationship, understanding the person. Guys, that's what God's desire for us is, that we know him like that. Sometimes we just kind of go through the motions, and God's like, don't go through the motions. When you come to church, don't just like do it. Come so you can know me. Come so you can know me more. That's God's desire for our lives. And there's a lot of different ways we can know God. One of the ways, and Pastor Allen talks about this all the time, is Project 345. We can read. Think about it. The concept blows my mind. We can know the creator of the universe every single day by reading God's word. We can know him more. What a privilege. That's something that I think all of us should be able to do. You know, we can know God by coming here. The fact that you're here today means that you have a desire to know God. You know, one of the ways that sometimes doesn't get talked about is that we can know God in groups. And some of you, maybe you've never been to a group before. We'll have groups starting back up soon, but I got to tell you, like, there are people that have been walking with God longer and further and in different ways than us, right? Have you experienced that? Bible says there's a wisdom in the multitude of counselors. And when you walk in groups with people, I got to tell you, you can learn some stuff about God through others. There's so many different ways that we can know God, but God's desire is that we know him. You know, it's been said before that in every single human being, there's a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. And I want to tell you this morning, like, out of all the things that we can do to try to fulfill ourselves, and a bunch of them can make us happy temporarily, there's no question. The real deal is satisfaction. And when you have satisfaction, I got to tell you, satisfaction is found in knowing God. So I'm so thankful this morning that we can have access to knowing God. Here's the second thing. We can have access to forgiveness from our past. Forgiveness from our past. Everybody has a past, right? Doesn't matter who you are. We all have a past. And I want to tell you, I'm so thankful that God gives us access to forgiveness from our past. Now, because I was with my family this last weekend, I drove 18 hours to Florida, all right? I was thinking to myself, why am I driving this far? Destin is 9 hours, but that's a whole other thing. Hopefully my parents don't listen to this, all right? But here's the deal. I drive all the way down to Florida, and before I got to see my brother. I don't know if you're like this, but anytime I see my family, we start like ginning up, like we walk down like nostalgic road. Some of you do this, like you talk about all the different things that you used to do, and you know, we kind of jokingly make fun of my parents, and they make fun of me, and we laugh at each other, and all this stuff. So we're doing this, and I was reminded of a story when my brother and I were both in high school, and I was a senior, he was a freshman. And my brother was dating this girl named Brittany, not my Brittany, okay? My Brittany would never date him. That's a whole nother thing, all right? But I believe that. There's no way she would date him, all right? But my brother is walking in the hall, and for some reason, I just happen to be behind him. And he drops this note. And this is back in the day. We didn't have text messaging, okay? We didn't even know what that was. So we would pass notes to each other. Some of you understand this, okay? Kids today, oh, you have no idea, okay? But here's the day. So I took that note, and maybe I shouldn't have picked it up. I don't know. But I took the note, and I began to read it. And to the best of my memory, it said something to this degree. Dear Kyle, I love you, and I want to be with you forever. Why don't you dump, I remember this part, why don't you dump that piece of trash, Brittany, and go out with me so we can be together? Love, Stephanie. Now, I started reading this, I'm like, oh, this is too juicy to pass up. I got to tell somebody, right? I couldn't hold that to myself. So I go tell my friends, and we're all seniors, and we probably should act more mature, but everybody knows seniors aren't mature. They're probably about the level of a ninth grade girl, which that's a whole other thing as well. But we're laughing, and we're dying, we're having a good time. And one of my buddies, Oliver, he takes it, and he walks off with it. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Why'd you just take the note? And I didn't realize he'd actually gone to the copy room, and he made 1,000 copies of that letter. He made 1,000 copies, all right? And while everyone was in class, he put all the different copies in people's lockers all over the hall, did the whole thing. So you can imagine when class let out, all right, everybody was like, oh my God, you know, they're laughing. You saw, I remember Stephanie's face. She was about as embarrassed as it gets, right? She probably should have been. And Brittany, my brother's girlfriend, saw that. She went and attacks Stephanie, okay? Now we all get to watch a fight, which we enjoyed. That's a whole other thing. But the whole idea is that, you know, that this whole thing came about because I was pretty much a bad brother. And that's really the truth. And maybe you've had times where you've been a bad brother, a bad sister. And if you're like me, you know, sometimes those moments are kind of easy to chalk up to, well, thank God, you know, I've been forgiven, right? Thank God. Or maybe you do that. I don't know if you do. But then there are other times, though, where maybe it's a little bit harder. Maybe things sometimes stick with us a little bit longer. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's like, oh, I can't believe I did that. And it just weighs with you, and it just kind of stays with you. And it's not supposed to stay with you, but it does. And it's interesting sometimes how certain things don't stay with us, but other things do. And sometimes those things can just continually give us guilt, bring us shame. We're just like, oh, am I going to ever get over this? And I want to show you a scripture this morning, what the scripture tells us. It says this, by this we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Here's what it says, once for all. It says, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. And for by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Do you see the common theme here? What the scripture is saying is, for Jesus has forgiven us, not just for a couple of our sins, but for all of our sins. I am so thankful for that. This morning, you can rest. You can have peace. You can have freedom in knowing that God has taken away all of your sins. Now, let me give you kind of an illustration of this. So just recently, I was eating out with my wife, and I dumped some ketchup on myself, okay? It's embarrassing, but whatever. Okay, so I dumped some ketchup on myself, and I tried to get it out, and it wouldn't come out. So I get home, and here's what I do. I get my stain stick. Everybody needs a stain stick. You have a stain stick? You need one. I'll tell you what. So I take my stain stick, I put it on my shirt, I put it in the washer, put it in the dryer, and you want the shirt comes out brand new. It's perfectly clean. You know what's crazy? As much as I have a clean shirt, that's a beautiful thing I'm thankful for. You know what I still have as well? I still have the memory of when that happened. And the same works with us when we make mistakes. God has already forgiven us. We have a clean shirt. We have a clean slate. But you know what we also have? We oftentimes still have the memory of when we made that mistake. And what we need to do is we need to give the memory up to God. Because God's saying, look, I'm not looking at you like you're unclean. I've already cleansed you. It's already done. It's already covered. Everything's good. What you need to do now is through faith believe that he has forgiven you. And when we do that, it gives us the ability to move on. And here's the last thing. God has given us access to his blessing. Because we have access to God, we have access to blessing. I want to show you what just a great scripture in Ephesians 1 tells us. It says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look at the word. It says, who has. Now, is that future tense or is that past tense? Has. It's past tense, right? You know, it's interesting. Sometimes when we pray for blessings, we think about it like, God, give us the blessing in the future, right? It hasn't happened yet. But God's saying, look, I've already given you everything you need. It's past tense. It's interesting because what the scripture says is every miracle that we need, every spiritual blessing that you need on your life, God has already taken care of. It's just an issue of us realizing that God has already taken care of it and receiving it by faith. You may say, Brandon, isn't that kind of like the same thing? It's actually completely different. Let me give you an illustration of this. So right here, I have a reimbursement check. And here's the thing about this check. It's obviously already been cut. It's obviously, you know, the money is in the bank account. We're good here. The check has even been signed. You know what the deal is on my end? The deal is now on my part is to cash the thing. I have the check though. I don't need to believe for the check. The check is in my hand. What I need to do is to believe, and that's how I cash the check. And the same works with our faith. We don't have to pray, God, give me the check. God's like, I already gave it to you. Check's right there. What you got to do is you got to cash the check. And the way you do it is through faith. Now think about this. This is why Alan, if you've been around the ark for a while, Alan always talks about words, right? Have you noticed that theme? And the scripture has a lot to say about words. Probably the best summary is death and life come through the power of the tongue. And the way we access this blessing is through our tongue. Because God has already given us the provision we need. We just have to get our faith up to the level to realize God has given us the provision that we need. You hearing me? God has already done it. It's already been done. It's already been taken care of. But God's saying, you need to get your faith up to that level to where you believe that I've already done it. It's already done. Cash has already been checked. You know, amen. There you go. There are some people who, and not that it's a bad thing. I don't want to like make anybody feel bad this morning. But there are some people who are praying and believing, you know, God, I pray that you would move. And God's like, look, I already moved. It's already been done. All you got to now do now is believe that I did move. And guess what? The blessing is coming to you. Think about it like this, back in my analogy of the check. It's kind of like this. There are some people who are praying and believing for that check to come in the mail. And then there are other people who are like, God's already given me the check. I'm on the way to the bank. I'm ready to cash this. And this morning, I want to encourage you to grow in your levels of faith because you have access to blessing this morning. You can believe that everything that you need in your life, every single aspect of your life, God has already taken care of. He's already handled. He's given you provision. He's given you supernatural blessing. It's now on our end to have the faith, to activate our faith through words and remind ourselves, God, thank you that this has already been doing. This has already happened. This has already been accomplished. I'm thankful for that. Well, this morning, as we get ready to close, I want to just close with a short story. And I think this kind of summarizes what we've talked about today. It's a true story. It was May 1862, and there was a man who was applying for an exemption from the military status because of a tragedy in the family. And Washington had approved it. He just had to come to the White House to finalize it. And as soon as he comes to the White House denied him. And he didn't know what was going on. and he couldn't figure it out. His family was in need. He didn't know what he was going to do, so he just walked over to a nearby bench, just sat down and just began to cry. And the young boy walked over to him and asked him what was going on. In that vulnerable moment, the young man said to the young boy, "Hey," and he just began to share his story, share with him what was going on. The young boy thought for a couple minutes. He said, "Okay." He grabbed his hand. He said, "Come with me." So he began to walk him to the back of the White House. As soon as he walked to the back of the White House, people began to salute him. The guy's like, "What is going on? How do these guys know that I'm in the military?" He walked all the way back into the White House and all the way to the presidential door. As soon as he came in, there was none other but then Abraham Lincoln right there. And Abraham said to his son, "Tad, Tad, what's going on? What do you need?" And his son, Tad, said, "Well, Dad, this guy needs to talk to you." And the man sat down with Abraham Lincoln. He shared his story. And Abraham, through his power, he approved him to be able to be exempt from military service and to be able to go back and be with his family. And I love this story for a lot of reasons. But if you get nothing else out of this message today, get this. The reason the man was able to access the president was because he had access to the son. And this morning, I want to tell you the reason we have access to God is because He has given us access to his son. This morning, we can have eternal life through his son. That's awesome. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we close? This morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. I believe God's doing incredible things in your life this morning. I believe he's been speaking to your heart, probably even before you came in here. And we're not going to do anything weird or ask anyone to come to the front or anything like that. But in responding, I want to ask you this morning, there may be some of you that maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, this is your day. This is your moment. This is your time. You know, this morning, there may be some of you who maybe you've put your faith in Christ a long time ago, and you kind of know you've been just going through the motions, and your relationship with God isn't very good, and you kind of know that. And this morning, for those two people this morning, for those two people, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. Whether you're here this morning, you want to put your faith in Jesus for the first time, or you're here and you want to say, "God, I want to come back to you. This is your day." And this morning, I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, not in a scared way, in a proud way, in a way that shows your faith between you and God, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand this morning on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. That's you. "I'm putting my faith in God this morning, Brandon." Or you'd say, "I'm coming back to God." I'll give you just a few more moments. If that's you, you can still get in on this. Say, "Brandon, that's me." That's awesome. You can put your hands down. Here's the last thing. We've talked a lot about accessing God today. I believe God's done some good things in your hearts this morning. We've talked all about the different ways that we can access God, accessing to more blessing and accessing God for forgiveness of the past, accessing God. We can know him. And this morning, if God was speaking in your heart and you say, "This morning, Brandon, I want to grow in my access, God. I want to grow in one of those areas." God was speaking to your heart. You say, "Brandon, would you pray for me?" If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? I'd love to pray for you. I'd be honored to pray for you as well. That's awesome. Well, here's what we're going to do. You can put your hands down. I'm going to say a prayer. I just ask that you repeat this after me and say it from your heart. Would you say this with me? "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, as the one who forgives me, the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." Now, let me just pray for you quickly. God, thank you for every person in this room. Thank you, God, for the immense privilege, God, that we can have access to you. Little us, God, your creation. We can have access to the great creator of the world. We're so honored by that. We're so humbled by that. And this week, God, we want to take advantage of that access that we have with you, Lord. Help us to know you more, God. Help us to live in forgiveness, Lord. Help us to live in blessing. This morning, God, we just want to honor you. Be with us, God. We're so thankful that you are with us this week, Lord. Continue to do great things in our lives. We love you, Lord, and pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.